I'm gonna do something that's never been done before ever in history, and you are gonna witness it. Ready? There. This is probably the first time that a deck of cards has ever been arranged in this specific order in history. First time. Think of all the decks of cards being shuffled around the world right now. Think of all the decks of cards shuffled around the world throughout history. Every gunslinger saloon, every poker night, every game of Go Fish. Even taking into account every casino game ever played, every cheesy magic trick you've ever seen, every time you played solitaire on your computer. Even considering all of that, given the law of probability, the order of the cards in this deck has probably never occurred before in the history of the universe, and probably never will again. Sounds crazy, right? Let's find out why. Welcome to the Y-Files, where smart folks like us get together to talk nerdy. And today we're talking about math facts that seem to defy logic.
Your hair defies logic. What is that?
What is what?
You look like a one-man boy band who got old. What's on your head?
It's hair product.
Hair product? I'm glad I got scales.
Can I just get through this intro, please?
Go ahead, Grandpa Timberlake. Do your thing. I'm just glad I got scales.
Math is everywhere. It's the source code of the universe. It's the blueprint for everything. And most of the time, math makes perfect sense, right? 2 + 2 = 4, 5 × 5 = 25, fine. But sometimes, math just gets weird. Like the deck of cards, which is bananas, by the way. And we'll get to that later in the video. First, we need to ease into it with a couple of crazy math facts. Okay, here's one. How many people do you need to get together before you find two that have the same birthday? And here's a hint, not that many. In a random group of only 23 people, the chances of two of them sharing the same birthday is 50%.
What?
This is called the birthday paradox, or the birthday problem, because it's not literally a paradox, but it's definitely unintuitive when you first hear it, at least it was for me. So why does this seem so weird? Well, it turns out we're all a little self-centered, aren't we? A bunch of little snowflakes. So the first thing we want to do is compare our own birthday against the other 22 people in the room. That's not how you do it. That's only 22 chances to find a match. The chances are not that high. Instead, what we do is compare all 23 birthdays against each other. And that gives us 22 plus 21 plus 20 and so on and so on, ultimately 253 comparisons. Given that there are usually 365 days in a year, 253 chances to find a birthday match, it's 50%. Now just throw 60 people in a room. Chances of finding birthday buddies? 99%. Now there's an actual formula for this, which I cannot explain, but I can link it in the description below. Here's another one that broke my brain at first. Let's say you have a rope wrapped around the Earth at the equator. The length of the rope is gonna be about 25,000 miles long, right? 45,000 kilometers. Let's say you want that rope to hover 1 foot off the ground.
30 centimeters.
How much more rope do you need to add to that whole thing to make that happen? The answer? 6.28 feet.
1.91 meters.
That's it? That's it! Okay. That's weird enough, right? But here's where the puzzle takes the express train to Crazy Town. Okay, the Earth is really big, so let's try the puzzle with something really small, like a tennis ball. How long's your rope to get around the tennis ball? 8 inches.
20 centimeters.
So now do the same thing. We want that rope to hover 1 foot above the tennis ball. How much more rope do we need to add? Same answer, 6.28 feet.
You're sure?
I'm sure. So what's going on here? Why does this seem so wrong? Well, it's just the way we picture things in our minds. When we talk about huge objects like the planet, our minds shift into kind of a large number mode. We expect the answer to the puzzle to be large. Then when we take the same puzzle, apply it to a small object, our brain shifts into a small number mode, and we want the answer to the puzzle to be small. But the catch to this math weirdness is actually kind of obvious. It doesn't matter what size circle we start with. The formula for circumference is 2 × π × the radius. Whether our circle of rope is around an atom or the Earth or the entire universe itself, it doesn't matter. When you increase the radius by 1 foot, the answer is always gonna be the same. It's 1 foot × 2, that's 2 feet × π, it's 3.14. So we've got 2 feet × 3.14 is 6.28 feet. Every time! When I first saw this, blew my mind. Okay. Let's take a break from calculations. I wanna show you some really cool math patterns. When I was 7 or 8 years old, my grandma told me to write down this sentence. Now, I don't know why I'm writing, but she was a baddie lady, and when she said do something, you did it because something cool was about to happen. And it totally did. I write down the phrase, and she says it's spelled the same way backwards. This was the phrase. A man, a plan, a canal, Panama. It's a palindrome. Palindrome is a word or a phrase that's spelled the same way backwards and forwards. And this is a famous one, and there are all kinds of other famous palindromes, like Madam in Eden, I'm Adam, or
Bob.
Bob is a palindrome, but we're going for something a little more impressive.
Boob.
Please.
Poop.
Don't.
I couldn't help myself. All right. Go on with the thing, the Thunderdome.
Palindrome.
Whatever.
Numbers can be palindromes, too. The numbers 44, 525, 1001, same backwards and forwards, you get the idea. But here's a cool trick. Take the number 1, square it. The answer is a palindrome. Now, it's a single digit, so it's not that impressive, but I'm going to impress you, I promise. Now, take 2 number 1s. 11, to the common folk. 11 times 11 equals 121. 121, palindrome. But it gets crazier. Take 3 number 1s. 111, 111 times 111 equals 12,321, which is 12321, which is a palindrome. But here is how to blow your friends' minds. Check it out. Pick any number from 1 to 9. Write down that many 1s. So, in our case, let's say 7 of them. 1,111,111. Square that. Watch how fast I get this answer. 1,234,567,654,321. That's a palindrome. The front half of our answer will start at 1 and count up to the number of digits we started with, in our case 7, and then the back half of the answer will count down from 7 ending at 1. Side note, if you try this with more than 9 digits, the palindrome trick breaks. The magic only happens with the numbers 1 through 9. But there's all kinds of other palindromes in math. Phrases, equations, formulas, all kinds of cool stuff. We're not talking about those here, but the links are down below. Look at that. We made history again. Here's a hint. It has to do with factorials. It's coming up. Nines are mysterious. They got a whole thing going on. Here's what I want you to do. Take a 9, multiply it by a number. Any number you want. Reduce that answer down to a single digit. That digit will always be 9, every time, no matter what happens. It's always 9. Let me show you how this works. 9 times 5 is 45. 4 plus 5 equals 9. Easy, right? Now, 9 times 101. That's 909. 9 plus 0 plus 9 equals 18. Remember, we need a single digit, so we keep going. 1 plus 8 equals, getting the hang of it? All right, let's go bonkers now. Let's go crazy. 9 times the number of days in a year, 365. Times the number of bones in the human body, 206. Times the number of Marvel MCU movies, 23. I didn't say good ones, I just total. The answer is 15,564,330. Check it out. 1 plus 5 is 6, plus that next 5 brings you to 11. Plus your next 6 gives you 17. Add 4, 21. Add 3, you're at 24. The next 3 brings you to 27. Add 0, 0, it gives you 27. Single digit, 2 plus 7 equals 9. Now, if you want to challenge me on how many days there are in a year, or bones in the body, or number of MCU movies, that's cool. You do you. But whatever numbers you plug in and multiply by 9, your single digit is going to be 9 every time. Go ahead and try it. Nines get crazier. Now, the trick I'm about to show you, when I first saw it, I went blind for 3 hours and everything smelled like peanuts. I'm just joking. You're going to be fine. But it's a whole rabbit hole. So just hang in there. Take our magical 9. Square it. 9 times 9 is 81. Now divide that into 1. The answer is 0 point, and then all the single digits from 0 to 9 in order repeating forever, but we always skip your starting number minus 1. In this case, 8. 8 never happens in the sequence, but all the other digits are there in order. 0.012345. 6, 7, skip 8, 9, and then it repeats again and again, on and on, forever, and it gets crazier. Let's keep going. Let's take 2 9s. 99. Square it. The answer is 9,000. 801. Divide that into one. The answer is 0 point, and then every two-digit number in order from 00, 01, 02, all the way up to 99, and then repeats forever again. But again, we skip the starting number minus one. So in this case, 99 minus one is 98. That never shows up in the sequence, but all the other numbers do, in order, always and forever. So does it work if we keep going?
Yep.
Let's do 999 squared. That's 998,001. Divide into one. The answer is 0 point, and now every three-digit number in order from 000 through 999, repeating forever. And just like before, we skip your starting number minus one. 999 minus one is 998. That never shows up in the sequence. This will work with four nines, five nines, just on and on. And I was so amazed by this that I wanted to look up like how it works. Okay, so here we go. There is that, all right, cool, all right. Oh, there's actually a straightforward reason. Great. Okay, let's see. Okay, that's not straightforward to me, but if any of that makes sense to you, let me know in the comments below, because I'm taking you to Vegas. Or I'm selling you to the circus. Either way, a great channel called Numberphile did a video on how this works, and there's a whole formula behind it. So the link is, well, it's where it always is. Now, when you try this yourself, most calculators or even Google won't give you enough digits to see the pattern. Instead, they may give you what's called e-notation, which is a type of scientific notation, which is a form of shorthand. But there are some online calculators that will give you big, big numbers, and I will link to my favorite in the description. Exponential progression, or exponential growth, is defined as a way that a quantity, given a common rate of change, increases or decreases over time. Let's warm up with a quick puzzle. We'll see how it works. Now, I want you to give me your answer as quickly as you can. No pausing, just fire away. Here goes. In a lake, there's a patch of lily pads. Now, every day, the patch doubles in size. If it takes 48 days for the patch to cover the entire lake, how many days before half the lake is covered? Hecklefish, what do you got?
24. Boom. What do I win?
Wrong. The answer is 47.
Bullshit.
Well, think about it. If the size of the patch doubles every day and fills the lake on day 48, that must mean that half the lake was covered just the day before, day 47.
That just blew my tiny, salty mind.
When our brains are solving problems like this, we have two modes, intuitive and deliberative, fast and slow. At first glance, 24 makes sense because 24 is half of 48. It's a really easy math problem to solve. And our brains love solving problems quickly. We're dopamine junkies, and the faster we get that dopamine, the better. But when we slow down and focus on the premise, the answer is obviously 47. And when we realize we didn't earn that dopamine, our brains punish us with frustration. Now, why this happens isn't fully understood, but some experts believe that our brains are punishing us in order to condition us to think more slowly and more logically. Now, we've got a video coming up on dopamine and other neurotransmitters. Fascinating, so please make sure you like, subscribe, hit the bell, all the business. So how did you do? 24 or 47? Be honest. If you said 47 right off the bat, that means your deliberate reasoning is far above average, far above mine. Let me know in the comments below how you did. Okay, exponential growth. What is that? Well, it's defined as how a quantity increases over time when the rate of change is proportional to the quantity itself. In the case of the lily pad, we express that by starting with the number 1 and just doubling it. 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, and so on. This type of growth can also be described as geometric progression with a common ratio of 2, meaning you take the last number in your series, multiply by 2, get your next number, and keep on trucking. Now, these numbers can get really big really quickly, and there's a lot of well-known examples and parables and histories and stories and all kinds of stuff that talks about this with the chess and the rice. Links, you know how we do. But I want to illustrate exponential growth with something that made my brain tissue itchy. And it smelled like cheese a little bit. I don't know why. There was oozing, but that's typical. It's happening now. All right. This is a normal piece of paper. It's about 10 millimeters thick. Now, if you fold this in half, the thickness is now 20 millimeters. Let's fold it in half again, 40 millimeters, and so on and so forth. Because of the size of the paper, the most number of folds you can get by hand is like 6 or 7, unless you're Thor and maybe you can get a few more, but sooner or later you're gonna run out of strength or you run out of paper. But what if we had a theoretical piece of paper that was infinitely long and infinitely wide, but still only 10 millimeters thick? How many times would you have to fold it before it was 1 kilometer high? just 23 folds. At 30 folds, that stack of paper will be 100 kilometers high. That means we're in space, people. Let's keep folding. At 42 folds, you reach the moon. 51 folds get you all the way to the sun. How many times would you have to fold a single sheet of paper that would create a stack so high that you could reach the end of the observable universe, which is 93 billion light years away? How many folds? You'd only have to fold the paper 103 times. Exponential growth can create some really big numbers. But you know what? Those numbers are nothing compared to what we're going to talk about next, factorials. And that's where our deck of cards comes into play. Get my agent on the phone. This is some Bush League bullshit. There are a bunch of different formulas and explanations describing all of these concepts. I will link them below. But in the paper folding example, we were doubling our numbers, or multiplying by a common ratio of 2. Multiplying by 2 is doubling, right?
Right.
But what happens to the numbers in a sequence when instead of multiplying by 2, we multiply by the next number in the sequence? That's a factorial. In written math, a factorial is represented as the number followed by an exclamation point. And that's for a good reason. Factorials are crazy! Here's how they work. Let's say you want a factorial of 5. You take 5, multiply by 4, multiply by 3, by 2, by 1. Hecklefish, what'd you get?
A headache.
The answer is 120. Check it out. 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. 120. So a factorial of 6 is going to be 120 times 6. Or in other words, 6 times 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. You see where we're going with this? The numbers scale really fast. A small number factorial can be a huge answer. For example, 10 factorial seconds is 6 weeks. That's 3,628,800 seconds. And what's even weirder is it's not 5 weeks and change or 6 weeks and a bit. 10 factorial seconds is 6 weeks on the nose. How did they do that? So what do factorials have to do with a deck of cards? Well, factorials are commonly used in calculating probabilities. Let me show you. I took 5 cards out of the deck. Jack of hearts, 3 of diamonds, 7 of hearts, ace of spades, 10 of clubs. Now we shuffle. Hecklefish, what are the odds that the ace of spades is the top card on this deck?
I don't carry the one.
Come on, buddy, you can do it.
5 cards, right?
5 cards.
1 out of 5?
That's right, 1 out of 5. Nice job.
Hecklefish is back, baby.
But how many different ways or permutations can these 5 cards be rearranged?
No.
The answer is 120 different ways.
And I'm out.
A probability is the chance of a certain outcome in a specific set. So in our case, it's 1 card out of 5. But a permutation is how many different ways the order of these cards can be arranged and rearranged. Even though we only have 5 cards, they could be arranged in 120 different ways. And if we add just 2 more cards, now we've got 5,000 different permutations.
Whoa. Did you just say 5,000?
Yep. 7 factorial is 5,040.
All right. Here's what I need you to do.
What?
I need you to empty out my bowl and refill it all the way up with vodka, right to the rim. Because Daddy needs a break.
You know, a fishbowl martini would make a pretty good video.
Don Tootin' it would.
Okay, so 7 cards is over 5,000 permutations. 8 cards is over 40,000 permutations. And a deck of 52 cards, that's 52 factorial permutations, which is 8 times 10 to the 67th power, which is all this. That means there are more ways to shuffle an ordinary deck of 52 cards than there are atoms on the Earth. Putting it another way, if you shuffled an ordinary deck of cards once every second, which I can't do, but if you did, in order to shuffle your way into every possible combination of cards, you would be shuffling for over novem decillion years. Don't know what a novem decillion is? I didn't either. I had to look it up. Turns out it's a trillion times 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 a trillion years. That hurts a little, doesn't it? Well, that brings us to our final topic. Big numbers. There's a number so large that if you tried to imagine it, your consciousness would collapse in on itself, forming a mental black hole.
Oh, great. What could possibly go wrong?
Our brains do not like big numbers, even if our bank accounts do. We do okay conceptualizing hundreds and thousands and millions, but when we start thinking of numbers bigger than that, we get stressed. Yeah, at some point, numbers stop meaning anything. They just become these theoretical, imaginary stuffs. In 1940, mathematician Edward Kasner wrote a book called Mathematics and the Imagination. Now, in that book, he coined a term for 1 followed by 100 zeros, or 10 to the power of 100. He called it a Google, which is just a word that his nephew made up. Kasner, being the show-off that he is, then proposed an even bigger number called a Googleplex, which is 10 to the power of Google, or 1 followed by a Google zeros. Well, Kasner himself called this number unfathomable. Did I say it right? A Googleplex is a number so large that if you wrote it out in an actual notebook, your notebook would weigh more than the entire Earth. All the Earth. Fun fact, the original Google search engine was based on sites backlinking to each other, so they called the algorithm Backrub. That name was clearly awful, so they decided to change it to Google because they wanted to index an unfathomable, a shitload of web pages. You know, the only reason Google is spelled the way it is because Larry Page misspelled it when he registered the domain name. So the name of one of the biggest companies in history is actually a typo. They seem to be doing okay with it. Numbers get even bigger than a Googleplex. Much bigger. In 1971, mathematician Ronald Graham established a number as the solution to a mathematical riddle. Link, link, link. Graham's number, as it came to be known, is so mind-boggling, the human brain can't even picture it. There's 64 steps required to obtain Graham's number. And after the first few steps, the sequence contains 7.6 trillion threes. I don't know what happens after those few steps, but it sounds awful. According to the website Physics Astronomy, if you even try to imagine Graham's number, your head would break down into a mental black hole because it cannot store the information required to envisage it. I think that means see. And if you think that sounds like an exaggeration, so did I. But John Baez, who's a mathematical physicist at UCLA, he said, "The mental hole description is a ridiculous underestimation of how big Graham's number really is." Now, I'd love to show you Graham's number. I really would. But there actually isn't enough space in the entire universe to write down all the digits, so I'll just stick to making history by shuffling my playing cards. And remember, every time you shuffle your own deck of playing cards, you probably just made history too. And now, you know why. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. My name is AJ. That's Hecklefish. This has been The Y-Files. What other crazy math facts are out there? Let me know in the comment section. And if you enjoyed this video, hit the like button. It really helps us out. If you haven't subscribed, please consider subscribing. If we didn't earn your subscription today, I promise we'll keep making nerdy, fun content until we do earn it. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
Is anybody seeing this? Hello?